Under Armour CEO Kevin Plank's plan to develop Port Covington holds out the promise of jobs, affordable homes, and millions of dollars for Baltimore City. WYPR's John Lee reports that some people are excited about what's to come, while others are wary about whether those promises can be kept and if those promises are even for them.
When you ask someone about Port Covington, the response you get seems to depend on where you are in the city.
Yes, an ice cream sugar?
At McHenry Row in Locust Point, near Port Covington, Liz Rivera is fueling up at the Dunkin' Donuts. Rivera lives near Patterson Park. She says she loves Baltimore and is all for anything that makes a part of the city better.
As far as I know, there's not much over there at all right now.
Rivera is right about that. Plank's Sagamore Spirit Distillery is under construction. Look for that to open later this year. The Baltimore Sun's printing plant is still there, but eventually will be relocated. There's an Under Armour office building in what was once a Sam's Club. And there's a shuttered Walmart. But this past weekend, that building was back in business, hosting a sale of Under Armour products.
All right, total comes to $15.90.
A DJ played Justin Bieber while shoppers browsed dozens of racks of Under Armour gear. Carol Davis of Otterbein scored some stuff.
Got a couple of leggings and a t-shirt for my husband.
Davis thinks the Port Covington plan is terrific because it will provide jobs.
It's expanding the growth of the city outward to neighborhoods that do need opportunities, which we view this as a plus.
But there are those who are skeptical, like Minister Glenn Smith with the New Promised Land Community Church in West Baltimore. Smith is still smarting over the jobs that were lost when Governor Larry Hogan killed the Red Line Rail Project.
How can I be encouraged by Port Covington when you did that to my community?
Then there's Tamara Purnell, who's a Republican running for city council in West Baltimore's 7th District. Purnell says she remembers promises made and broken in the past.
We hear about the TIFs, we hear about the jobs, and it never happens.
TIF stands for Tax Increment Financing. As part of the Port Covington deal, the city would float TIF bonds totaling $535 million. Those bonds would be paid for by the property taxes raised by the project over decades, not out of the city budget. But TIFs do come with risks. There's always the chance the developer would bail on the project once bonds are issued, or that the development would not make enough to pay off the debt. Officials say they've put safeguards in place in case any of that happens. But there are those who say if the city is willing to go there, Kevin Plank's Sagamore Development Company needs to belly up to the bar, too, and ink a major, binding, citywide benefits agreement. Here's City Councilman Carl Stokes.
Given that we're almost the first investor, certainly the second investor behind Sagamore, then we ought to expect a strong return on our investment.
Perhaps the biggest return on investment is Port Covington's promise of 25,000 permanent jobs, not to mention those in construction. Stokes and others want Plank to promise to fill at least 51% of all of those jobs with city workers. But Tom Geddes, CEO of Plank Industries, says it's important not to saddle the deal with unrealistic requirements.
If you take 51% of the projected construction jobs, I think off the top of my head, that might be 21,450 construction jobs, and to mandate that all of those had to be hired out of the city of Baltimore today would unfortunately be unrealistic, that we would have people who are project ready.
In the next couple of weeks, Geddes says they will be announcing plans for a workforce development program in the city. The goal is to get more city residents trained for the jobs that are coming to Port Covington. Another part of the $5.5 billion development plan is 7,500 residences. Sagamore Development agreed to make 10% of those residences affordable housing. Councilman Stokes and others say it should be at least 20%. Mark Weller, the president of Sagamore Development, says as things stand now, a 20% affordable housing target isn't financially feasible. 10% will work.
The affordable housing component is very, very robust, and we feel as if it's the largest of its kind that's ever been signed in the city.
Weller adds that Sagamore is looking for ways to create more affordable housing in Port Covington and in other parts of the city.
I was born here in 1940.
Florence Ford has lived much of her life in Westport. It's a depressed neighborhood on the middle branch of the Patapsco River, west of the Hanover Street Bridge. In the distance, past the bridge, you can see Port Covington. Ford says while some of her neighbors are great and take care of their homes, others have yards full of trash and garbage.
They got rat holes this big coming out of their yard, and I sit out on my back deck and I sit there, and it's like an underground city back there.
Ford says she's heard promises before of big developments that would help turn Westport around. So is Lauren Duffy, a real estate agent who works in Westport.
Most of these houses along this street here have views of the water.
But the homes would sell for only about $60,000. A lot of Duffy's business is in shells, homes that need to be completely reworked. They go for around $20,000. People buy them, but they don't renovate right away because home prices are too low to make it worth their while to fix them up and sell them. So they wait. The light rail stops in Westport, and a spur could link the neighborhood to Port Covington. So could plans to fix an old railroad swing bridge and turn it over to pedestrians. Westport is one of six South Baltimore neighborhoods that signed a deal with Sagamore Development. It's expected to mean $40 million in support for those neighborhoods over the next 30 years. Duffy says the Port Covington project is great, but it's not a panacea. For one thing, Duffy says Westport needs the city to lean on landlords to clean up their properties.
Versus letting them sit and stew like they've been doing for the last couple years.
Port Covington itself has been sitting and stewing for years. If you stand in the parking lot of the old Walmart and look north, you can see how the property is virtually cut off from downtown by Interstate 95. Sagamore's plan is to reattach Port Covington to the rest of Baltimore through roads, light rail, and bike paths. Under Armour plans to put its global headquarters there and have it be part of the city. The question now for the City Council, does Port Covington's promise make it worth its price? That debate begins this evening before the Council's Taxation, Finance, and Economic Development Committee. I'm John Lee reporting for 88.1 and WIPR.